bitches.
Blog Talk Radio.
Cold air, bitches.
I have a... I have returned to the land of the living.
Here comes one of them. Get up and kill.
All right, guys, welcome to the October 23rd edition of Rebel Guard Radio. What's going on, guy?
Nothing much, man. It's been kind of crazy. You heard about all the fires that are going on in Southern California?
No, I haven't.
There's a lot of brush fires going on here, and my work actually had to evacuate the building because, you know, the fire department called and said everyone should leave.
Wow, really? That's insane.
Unfortunately, it was like right when I was off anyway, so I didn't get to miss any time, you know, that I would have normally worked, but it was still pretty crazy.
Damn. All right, well, this is the October 23rd episode of Rebel Guard Radio. This episode is brought to us by our sponsor, IVP Videos, www.ivpvideos.com. Check them out, $2.99 single disc, $5.99 double disc for all your Purcell, Lucha Libre, some MMA, some old rings, a bunch of different stuff. New Japan, classics.
I saw some Bruiser Brody compilations on there, too.
Yeah, some good stuff.
Definitely.
If you like the Lucha Wrestle style, I would check out the 12-disc Best of Michinoku Pro. That's good stuff. Guy, this week we're going to be joined by Texas independent worker David Fuller. We're going to keep kayfabe alive, so we're going to call him by his working name. But, yeah, he's an indie worker from Texas. He's a friend of mine. This should be a pretty interesting interview. I do have Mr. Fuller on hold, so we're going to bring Dave in real quick. Okay.
Right.
Dave?
Good evening.
David, how you doing, brother?
Pretty good. How about you?
Not bad. Welcome to Rebel Guard Radio.
Thank you.
I'm on the line here with my cohort in crime, Guy. Say, what's up, Guy?
I'm doing all right, man. How are you?
Doing all right. Thank you for asking.
All right.
How's the weather out there in Fort Worth?
Oh, well, right now we're going through a little bit of a cold spell. It's kind of nice, though. We don't get that too much, so we're grasping it. We're enjoying it very much, though.
Lucky you, assholes. It's fucking pushing 90 up here in Northern California, and obviously it's smoking down there in L.A., too.
Exactly.
All right. Well, we know that you're an independent worker from Texas.
Yes.
How'd you break in?
Well, I broke in 1998. I started going to a wrestling school ran by the late, great Johnny Ballantyne. And he was paralyzed, of course, from the waist down, but he ran a little wrestling school down here in Fort Worth along with Scott Putski, son of Ivan Putski, and some others. At the same time, me, my brother-in-law, Chris Wolf, and a friend of ours, Brawls Ryder, using their work names, of course, were doing a little backyard federation. We always wanted to do our own thing. We'd always imitated what we saw on television, and around that time, ECW, WWE, and WCW were the elite promotions. So we'd always go in the backyard and pretend like we were them and do the mark moves and all this. So one day we're sitting around the backyard, and we're like, you know, we need to come up with our own thing. And ECW was really popular at the time, and so we decided to call ourselves IHW, Insane Hardcore Wrestling. And we all came up with different gimmicks for ourselves. So we would do shows. No one would watch, of course. We had no fans. And we would all have four or five gimmicks. And we'd do these shows, and it was just fun. And at the same time, I was going to Johnny's school, and he was telling me how to break into the business. it was a real culture clash because Johnny was totally against coming off the top rope, theatrics of any kind, and certainly against anything remotely related to hardcore wrestling. So that's how I really broke into the business. I was doing IHW and at the same time going through his school.
That's cool. So when you were first breaking in, were there any notable workers that, you know, that you worked with?
Scott Putski, and Scott Putski was really my first really big name because he had just come off a run with WWE, a very small one in 1997. So then we started going to the NWA Southwest shows here in Texas. There was only one promotion here in Texas. Now there's like 50. But at the time there was only one, and it was ran by a gentleman by the name of Ken Taylor. He's a promoter of NWA Southwest, and he had just started running shows here. So his first really big show in Dallas was Rugged Rod Price, the NWA Texas Heavyweight Champion, against Dan the Beast Severn, the NWA World Champion. So we were all excited. We you know, Dan Severn, everybody knew who Dan Severn was. So we were marking out. We were like, we're going to go watch Dan Severn. I remember the first night there we went, and we're sitting there watching the show, and a guy by the name of Rodney Bonneau comes out, Red Dog. And I remember he comes out, and a lady, two rows sitting back, named Jasmine. And so we're sitting there watching these guys. We don't know anything about these guys. Rodney comes in the ring, starts talking on the mic. A few minutes later, Scott Putski, who had just signed with WCW, runs in, pins the guy in 30 seconds. So we thought, okay, this guy's a total spare. Little did we know, later on, Rodney would go on to become Rodney Mack, and Jasmine would later become Jazz. So at first, we were hanging out. We really got close with them two. They really were just two really good people. They were driving here from Louisiana. Them, I'm trying to think of, and at the same time as them, we started. Brian Kendrick was also starting down here in North Texas, and Brian Kendrick also was hanging out with us. So right then and there, we're hanging out with two former WWE stars and the guy who's on Monday Night Raw every week, and, you know, we didn't even know it. So that was kind of cool, you know, at the time. Little did we know what success was awaiting them.
That's cool. Cool. Any questions there, guys?
Yeah, actually, when you were training with Johnny Valentine, were there any particular wrestlers or people that he said that you guys should study or watch or try to learn from?
Johnny was the kind of guy, if he didn't like you, he didn't talk to you. It took a while for Johnny to warm up to me. I remember one time Johnny would always talk to me. He never really told me to go out and watch a certain wrestler. He couldn't stand Ric Flair. He couldn't really stand anybody in any organization at the time. He always told me, and I remember once I went out and I found a DVD with one of his matches on it, and I was so excited. I ran home, and I called him, and I went over his house, and I said, Johnny, I got this match with you and Argentina Rocca, and I put it in. And within 2 minutes, Johnny said, turn that shit off. That was one of my worst matches. And I said, okay. And he talked. He would talk to me about how a match should be done. He never could show me because he's paralyzed, but he always talked to me. And I remember one time, he was, it's funny, this guy's paralyzed, but he's still strong as an ox. So one time, he was, everybody in the class, he said, okay, I'm going to show you how to do a forearm to the back. There's two guys in front of me. These guys are 245 pounds. Guys, I'm only 5'7", 125 pounds. Don't ask me how I've been a wrestler for 10 years. But nonetheless, and I was a little smaller then than I am now. So he's just clubbing these guys, and these guys are holding back the tears. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, great, I'm next. He's going to kill me. And it hurt, but, you know, I just took it in stride. I had a big red mark on my back for a week, and at the same time I was kind of marking out. I was like, Johnny Valentine hit me. But I guess the one guy he said he still enjoyed watching, and rightfully so, was his son, Greg Valentine. But,
cool.
You know, he really just didn't really put anybody over that I could actually study because all of his friends, I guess, had already passed away.
You know, with that Jelly Valentine saying that, you know, turn that shit off, turn that shit off, I can understand why. I've seen quite a bit of Johnny Valentine footage, and the TV stuff really isn't that good because it takes Johnny 20 minutes to get going.
Exactly.
I think that's the point he was trying to make.
He always told me, he said, if you wrestle like this, you can wrestle for an hour. And the only thing was, and I never, ever said anything negative to him, but when it was all said and done, it was 1998, an hour match, their way, his way, was just not happening anymore. So
yeah, there weren't a lot of those going on.
I know, and I hated that. I never could tell him that because it'd break his heart. But, you know, I always took what he said in stride, and in the end, I had to make a decision to continue with him or run the IHW, and I chose to run the IHW. I never forgave myself for that. He hurt himself again in October of 2000. He re-broke his back. He ended up in the hospital up here in Fort Worth. And I remember his wife had called me and asked me to please come up and see him. He's not going to make it. I was scared to death to see him because, you know, I'd made a decision and I didn't know if he hated me. And I went up to the hospital and he wrapped his arms around me and hugged me and said that he loved me. And I said, I love you too. Thank you for everything you've ever done for me. You believed in me. Because he always told me I could be a worker. I just had to work hard. I said, well, I'm too small. He said, that shit don't matter. Just keep doing what you're doing. And so right up until he died, you know, we were cool, and then he passed away. And me and my father had the, I don't know if it's an honor to speak at his funeral. You know, it's never an honor to speak at somebody's funeral, but at the same time, it was nice of them to ask us. So I always keep Johnny in my heart because he actually looked at me and said, you could be a wrestler, when everybody else said, you ain't got a chance, kid.
That's great.
Cool.
That's
a pretty cool story.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty cool story. So, okay, in the Texas Indies that you've worked, I know that you've worked with Jazz, the former, I'm not even going to call her a diva because that girl can work. She is a worker.
Yeah.
Now, how stiff is she?
You know, Matt, it's funny. The first time I wrestled her, it was in 1999 in Houston, Texas, called in a show called MSPW, and it was a big show. It was going right up against the horrible, legendary Wrestle Crap pay-per-view, the Heroes of Wrestling. And it was going up against the same time. So we were booked in Houston, and listen to the names on this show. Reckless Youth, Mike Quackenbush, Don Montoya, Jazz, New Jack, Rey Mysterio Sr., Hysteria, Venom Black, Necro Butcher, Joey Corman, Samir, all of them at that, Madman Pondo, were all convened at that wrestling show.
What did they draw?
Now, here's the funny part. Number one, in Texas, to draw, you actually have to get out and promote. And in 99, the internet was nowhere as it is today. These guys didn't promote. They thought they could put Reckless Youth's name on a poster and everyone would know who he is. No one knows who the hell Reckless Youth is down here in Texas. He works up in New York. They drew 30 people.
God, with that lineup?
With that lineup, they drew 30 people because I told them, even as green as I was, I said, you could have Hulk Hogan here. If no one knows about it, no one's coming to your show.
Well, you mentioned Necro.
Yes.
Talk about your relationship with Mr. Butcher.
Mr. Butcher and I began our relationship in January of 1999. IHW had started, we got a ring, we got a real ring, we got the, check this out, this is what's really cool, we got the old world-class championship wrestling ring in this guy's backyard. So we're marking out for that. So we got this ring, and now we're starting to book the NWA guys. Red Dog, Jazz, Spanky, Brian Kendrick came and all did shows for it. So it's funny, Brian Kendrick made a decision to leave North Texas and go train with Shawn Michaels. Good decision, because look where he's at now. Rodney and Jazz went to ECW. Now I've got, okay, I had these three big talents. Now they're gone. Now this guy Necro Butcher calls me up on the phone. He says, want to come down and work for IHW. I said, well, who the hell are you? He said, well, my name is, Necro Butcher. I work down here in East Texas. I said, I've never heard of you. He said, well, yeah, I'd really like to come work for you. He said, I won't charge anything. I said, okay. I said, all right, I got a show coming up in January. Come work it. He said, I do a hardcore gimmick. I said, we're IHW. We're Insane Hardcore Wrestling. Come on up. So about a week before, I would get four or five videotapes a week. I just couldn't believe that these guys were marking out to work for a promotion in a backyard, but we just had a lot of heat. It was us and the NWA, and that was it. And we had a lot of attention, so people wanted to come work. So nonetheless, we come to the show in January. It's muddy as hell. We had to go get the ring and bring it back and set it up. It's muddy. It's raining. The Fort Worth Star-Telegram, the local paper here, has come to the show to do a story on us. And out, we're sitting there getting ready for the show. I'm sitting there going over the matches with everybody because I was actually the head booker and a performer. And out gets this guy out of his car, and he's got face paint on, and he's about fucking 6'6". And he gets out of his car, and he comes in, and he's got this barbed wire bat, and he's got this trash bag full of gimmicks. And he comes up, he says, I'm Necro Butcher, nice to meet you. I said, I'm David Farmer, nice to meet you. So the guy he's working is a guy named by the name of Damon Richards, a guy I broke in. So he came to me, he's like, what do you know about this guy? I said, not much. He's like, I'm working him in a hardcore match. I'm like, sorry, buddy, it's professional wrestling. What do you want me to do? And he said, he's putting you over, dude. He's not coming in here and beating one of my guys this first match. He's going to put you over, so just chill. All right. If you say it's cool, it's cool. I said, dude, it's cool. So he gets in the ring, and he Necro beats the shit out of Damon Richards. Just beats the dog shit out of him. And I'm marking out. I'm like, okay, this is cool. We could do this. All of a sudden, he busts out a light bulb. I said, what the hell is he going to do with that? He breaks it over his back. And I shit you not, there's a DVD floating around out there that originally came from me, now it's everywhere. There's a DVD floating out there with this match on it. He takes the light bulb, the broken half of the light bulb, and he sticks it in the head of Damon Richards and cuts him open. And I'm going, oh my God, the Fort Worth Star Telegram's here, we're going to end up in jail. So the match, the fans love the match. And as soon as Necro Butcher walked to the back, I said, dude, you're my top draw. You're the star now. You're the star of the show. So he just became my guy. He was just, he's cool as hell. We have a real close relationship. He was running his own shows down in East Texas. He would bring me down and my boys down, and I've got so many stories. I mean, would you like me to tell a couple?
Absolutely.
Okay. Matt, you up?
Yep.
All right. So anyway, there's one story that comes to mind. It's May of 1999. We're doing a show here in Plano, Texas for an organization called TCW. Well, TCW is now XCW. But this is back when they were called TCW. So there's this battle royal with all these preliminary guys in it. I was just breaking in, so they put me in there. So Necro wants to get in the match. Necro comes back and says, I want to be in the match. I want to be in the battle royal. Like, all right. So we do the battle royal. Everybody's in there. All of a sudden, Necro comes in the ring, and he's got this chair. He starts swinging like crazy. Didn't tell anybody beforehand, oh, I'm going to hit you with a chair. He just started swinging. I've never seen so many grown men run before in my life. There were guys jumping over the top rope. There was one guy that was supposed to go over that was about to jump over the top rope. And I'm like, dude, I'm telling him, you're going over. He's still jumping over, trying to jump over top rope. So finally, Necro eliminates himself and gets out on the floor. So I'm looking around, I'm like, okay, I'm safe now. And we're friends, by the way. But anyway, I get thrown over the top. I turn around, and I see a black metal chair coming at my head at rapid speed. Whack! I go down like a ton of bricks. Fans are marking out. It takes me 5 minutes to get up. people are like, oh, you sell real good. Yeah, okay. It took me 5 minutes to get up. I get to the locker room. He puts his arm around me. He goes, I like you, kid. I'll do anything for you. You took a chair shot. You weren't a pussy about it. You put up your hands. You took it. I got your back anytime, man. And after that, we were boys. Let me see. I'm trying to think. I was on the phone with my brother-in-law before I got on the show. I asked him, I said, well, what should I say? And he was, there was this one time Necro was here hanging out with us, and we were watching a movie, and this may sound a little, you know, weird, but Necro, have any of you guys ever hung out with Necro personally? Have y'all ever met him?
Well, I know some, you know, I've had friends that have hung out with him before.
Well,
you know.
Necro, he does his own thing, and he's stubborn, and what he does. So I'm not going to say he's a pig or he's not real hygienic, but nonetheless, we're watching a movie, and he's got all these green shorts. These just ugly, green shorts. So we're watching the movie. The movie was called Thursday with Thomas Jane and Aaron Eckhart. So we're watching the movie, and they're marking out, and I look, and I just turn my head to look at something. All of a sudden, I see Necro's male productive organ hanging out of his shorts. And I'm trying to be PC here. I see it hanging out of his shorts, and I kind of nudge my friend. I'm like, dude, look. And he looks over, he's like, oh. So then I get my brother-in-law's attention. I'm like, dude. He's across the room. I'm like, dude, his sting's hanging out of his shorts. Necro has no idea. He's fallen asleep. So we're laughing hysterically. So finally Necro, he wakes up and he's like, what the hell are you laughing at? And he looked down and it's completely out of his shorts at this point. It's on his leg. I'm like, dude, oh, shit. Sorry, guys. I'm like, let me see. There's this. when he lived down here, he lived down here with his wife.
Oh, professional!
He lived down here with his wife, and he lived down here with his kids. And so he had a little trailer in Killeen, Texas. So his wife was gone for the weekend, and the kids were gone. So he called us down here. He's like, come on down here, motherfuckers. Let's play video games. So we drove down to Killeen. It's about 3 hours. So we drove down to Killeen. We stayed up all night. We went to Denny's, and I forgot what he ordered, but I was bitching because it was like 2 o'clock in the morning, and they wouldn't serve me a $2.99 Grand Slam. I was like, it's on the poster, $2.99. They're like, it's 2 a.m. I said, it's the morning. Why can't I get a $2.99 Grand Slam? I was about to go Jim Cornette on the Jim Cornette and Legendary.
You should have, man. There's no reason not to serve that at that time in the morning.
So I'm like, $2.99, just... So I ended up having to pay $6 for a meal I could have got if I came at 9 o'clock in the morning like a normal person. So I was pretty pissed about that. So I remember he made a big deal about that. He said, aha, you had to pay $5 for breakfast. Ha, 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 ha. So he's laughing about that. Then he said, let's go to Walmart. I'm like, why are we going to Walmart? I got to get milk and apple pie. I'm like, Necro, milk and apple. He said, yeah, come on. The most manipulative man ever. This fool could convince you to do anything. It could be the most repulsive thing. He convinced you it's a good idea. So he's like, let's go. So he took us all to Walmart, and we're walking through Walmart, and he gets this big freaking apple pie, and he gets this big jug of milk. The only food he had in his damn house was apple pie and a jug of milk. Went back to his house. We stayed up all night playing Virtual Pro Wrestling 2 on Nintendo 64. So,
wow, that's good stuff, Dave.
Here's the funny part. One of our friends, Balls Ryder, fell asleep on the couch. This fool had an annoying habit. He would snore, and he has a big face. So he was snoring. This fool was dead asleep with his mouth hanging open. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, Necro, check it out, man. His mouth's hanging open. So, and I'm just gonna tell you exactly what he told me, and I do apologize in advance. I said, somebody should do something. He goes, I dare to stick your dick in his mouth. And I said, I'm not doing it. But I remember I got my wallet out really quick. I'm going through my wallet, and I'm seeing how much cash I have on me. I said, dude, I will give you every dollar bill in my wallet to do it right now. I said, number one, I want to see his reaction. Number two, I want to see him get pissed and try to kick your ass afterwards. So, and nonetheless, he chose not to do it. So he was too busy playing virtual pro wrestling. So,
wow.
That's a couple of necro stories.
Cool. That was pretty good. We're going to take a little break here. I need to pay the bills real quick.
Okie dokie.
All righty. Well, our sponsor for the show is IVPvideos.com. www.IVPvideos.com. All the Puro, Lucha, some MMA, older stuff, bunch of Japanese stuff. Check them out. www.IVPvideos.com. Well, there you go. I paid the bill. Any questions on you guys?
Yeah, I was wondering, I heard Hernandez was down, or maybe started out around your area. Did you ever work with him?
Yes. I call him Sean. He's Sean Hernandez, Hot Stuff Hernandez. I call him Sean. He started down here in Houston. He was actually trained, brought into the business by Tugboat Thomas. No, Tugboat Taylor. I'm sorry.
Chaz's dad, right?
Thomas is the guy that worked in WWE. Tugboat Taylor, father.
Is that Chaz Warrington?
Father of Chaz Taylor.
Chaz Taylor.
Yeah.
Chaz Taylor, the skinny guy from Global, right?
Exactly. So he was brought in by him, but he really got his big break in Texas All-Star Wrestling, an organization down in Humble, Texas, Houston. It's been around for about 10, 15 years now, ran by a guy named Bob Murphy. So once Necro went down there, Necro started. I remember I first met Hernandez, and I was intimidated. There's certain guys that intimidate you.
He's fucking huge.
Yeah. He's
fucking huge. He's one guy that I would like in a dark alley, in an alley fight with me.
Definitely.
Right behind me.
Definitely.
I would talk shit to anybody except for New Jack with that guy behind.
Definitely. I remember the NWA organization who we were feuding with at the time, because we were two rival companies, were bringing them up to a match. And ECW had just come through Dallas at the Bronco Bowl to do a show, to do their first show in Dallas. And I remember Jazz, who called me up the night before, and she goes, Fuller, how many tickets do you want for ECW? And I said, well, how many can I get? She goes, you can get as many as you want. I said, it's that easy? She goes, well, don't ask for 100. I said, well, I'm not going to ask for 100. She goes, well, how many do you want? I said, well, give me 3 tickets. So she said, okay, you got 3 tickets. So she goes to the box office and asks for, say, give me your ticket. I said, okay. So we went to the ECW show, and I remember at first Sean Hernandez was there with another guy by the name of Big Dick Daddy, who was a worker down from Houston, too. So that was my first time meeting Sean. And Sean is really cool. Here's the thing with Sean. If he doesn't respect you, then you know it right off the bat. And I was just scared to death, because the way I broke in and my size do not paint a pretty picture to some of the guys around here, and they just don't think I belong. For a number of years, they didn't think I belong. But Sean took me in. We used to, after the NWA Southwest location was located right next to a Hooters. Guys, we spent hour after hour in that Hooters after the NWA shows with Rodney Mack, Hot Stuff Hernandez, Necro Butcher, all the, just
a good move.
Drinking our asses off. We take up 4 freaking tables. We'd stay there until that place closed down. They were chasing the women, and we just had a blast. So yes, I did work with Hot Stuff. Still a pretty good friend today. Cool guy. Can't say enough good things about him. One of the most underrated workers, I think, in the United States today.
Yeah, no, he's been awesome. I mean, he can do dives. He can do, you know, big move. I mean, he's really good.
I think him and Homicide are the best tag team. I would easily say they're easily a tag team that could compete with anybody in the WWE right now.
I agree.
How good they are and their gimmick and stuff.
I think they could be much bigger than they are. They should be.
You know, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to have to say that LAX would be, I would say, one of the top 5 tag teams in the world.
Definitely.
In the world.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
No
Definitely.
Doubt.
And they can be. They can be. I don't want to, you know, I know this, I don't want to go off on organization that's certainly in much higher spirits than I am, but it's just, look at the television ratings, look at the TV ratings, look at the merchandise, look at the people, watch the people. If people would actually watch their show for a change and not watch it to mark out, I get so mad. These organizations around here, they're like, we're on TV. I'm like, the same people who watch your show are the same people that are on it. Nobody watches your show. You don't watch your show, because if you did, you'd see what's wrong with it, and more people would watch your show.
All right, Dave, answer this honestly. Do you think that LAX has been buried by the booking committee from TNA for the sins of Conan?
I don't know if it's so much for the sins of Conan. I think that has something to do with it, because ever since the Benoit tragedy, Conan has just gone off, and I feel sorry for the guy. He had a kidney replacement. He didn't have insurance, which no wrestlers do. He didn't have an organization behind him to pay for it like a Vince McMahon would. And I'm not praising Vince McMahon at all. But
Vince does business that way.
Right.
He takes care of his own.
Right.
You can say whatever you want about the man, but he does take care of his own.
Exactly. I mean, I know, you know, and you can read about when somebody gets hurt, but I know when Rodney and Jazz, when they got hurt, I would call them and they tell me, he's taking care of us. So, I mean, you know, Dixie Carter, Wooden. And I think, man, when LAX first came on the scene, they were so hot. They ran that angle with Styles and Daniels. They had the match of the year last year with the Ultimate X. They had another killer match in the steel cage at Bound for Glory. They had the hottest feud. And the next thing you know, they're feuding with AMW. And they had a stinker. And then after that, Conan left due to his medical issues, and then Conan went on this media tirade bashing professional wrestling, which you can say what you want to about professional wrestling. It's not perfect like any other endeavor. You made your living in professional wrestling. How dare you go on the TV and just say, oh, well, there's so many screwed up things with professional wrestling. Really? But tomorrow, if Vince McMahon called you and offered you a job, you'd go back, Max Moon. And give me a break. Give me a break. No, I think LAX, and just now, LAX is starting to get more recognition because they don't need Conan. Conan helped, but they don't need him. Homicide had how many 5-star matches up in Ring of Honor even before he came down to TNA? Hot Stuff is a big man who can do things a cruiserweight can't do. They had one of the best matches, and not the best match, last Sunday at Bound for Glory. So I think they are starting to get – I think a lot of guys are getting buried in TNA. I think it's just a good old boy network. I think it's signs of WCW again. I mean, give me a break. Pac-Man Jones never took one bump in TNA and got more TV time devoted to him than – and if I'm Sting, and I still care about my character, I won the heavyweight championship last year for 1 month. I put over Pac-Man Jones. He never took one bump. He pinned me at the last pay-per-view, and now I'm world champion for a week? What's the deal?
Joke.
Well, he's making a lot of money. So.
Just yeah, that's true, and he probably just doesn't give a shit anymore. He's not a Hogan. He's where, you know, Hogan live or dies by every match he has, and he has to win.
Yeah, well, you saw those vignettes with Alex Shelley going to his house, you know, a year and a half ago.
Right.
He's got a ton of money. He's got a nice house. He's got his family.
Right.
If he's not craving the pop, I mean, why bother, you know?
That's true.
But I think he does pretty, you know, he does all right. I mean, he tries. He's not just phoning it in. I'll say that.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Sting's like Mystique is, he's never been the guy to go home about. I mean, he's had good matches with Flair. He's had good matches with certain guys, but you know, when you're going down the great workers or the great draws, Sting's never mentioned. But at the same time, when he's on, you feel that big match feeling.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A lot of people don't mention him, but when it comes down to it, I mean he's had a lot of great matches. I mean, you know, Ric Flair, you know, Vader, Great Muta,
mm-hmm.
Cactus Jack. I mean,
yeah, but look who Sting was in there with. Look who he was in there with.
True.
Okay,
you know,
those are four of the best workers ever. Okay, Vader was great in the mid-90s.
Definitely.
He was a great worker. Cactus is Cactus.
Right.
You know what you're going to get with him. Flair is arguably the greatest wrestler ever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, and the matches he had with Rude, that was good stuff.
Absolutely.
So, I think Sting is as good as whomever he was in the ring with. So I don't see him as an Observer Hall of Famer. I don't see it. He was on the ballot this year. He got, you know, a handful of votes. He's nothing special. He didn't really draw money.
Right.
Well, I don't know. But I guess, you know, he draws that, you know, 0.9 rating or whatever it is for TNA.
No, he's done some good stuff. I mean, I always liked him when I was younger, but, I mean, he's cool. Bottom line, you got to say, I mean, he made a ton of money, and he's set for the rest of his life. I mean, you know that. I mean, there aren't that many people in this industry that can say that. So.
Well, he was smart with his money. You know, he invested with Luger with the gyms and whatnot. So, you know, it's not like he's really hurting for money.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Well, the TNA work schedule is just really hard to pass up. He doesn't do any house shows. He works sometimes twice a week now with the Monday and Tuesday night tapings. If they do a pay-per-view, he may work three times a week. I mean, it's the TNA work schedule. You'd be an idiot if you bitched about it.
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, we're going to take a little break. I'm going to play a little ad here for my buddy Carl Stern. So hold on just a second, guys.
Yes, sir.
So if you hate the stuff today but love the old stuff, the Carl Stern shows are for you. CarlStern.com.
And guess what, Fetzel? I'm the world champion.
Runs down the history of wrestling at CarlStern.com.
Now, for a lot of you people out there, that's a real hard nut to swallow.
Talks about stuff largely that happened before 1989.
And the whole goddamn world knows who I am.
The Carl Stern Show, CarlStern.com. So if you hate the stuff today but love the old stuff, the Carl Stern Shows are for you. CarlStern.com.
Yep, you want all the money, you want all the glory, you want to fly first class, you want to walk around with someone like her, you don't deserve it. Woo!
Yes, you can catch the Carl Stern Audio Show at www.f4wonline.com. I would definitely check him out. Carl Stern is a wrestling historian. He knows his shit. You can also check out his personal website, www.carlstern.com. I got the plugs out of the way. I am going to go downstairs and violate the Rebel Guard Radio wellness policy. Guy, I'll be back in 5. Do you think you can handle it?
Oh, absolutely.
Have fun, boys. I'm going to go burn one, and I'll be thinking of you, Dave.
Thank you, sir.
Let me ask you, Dave, are you watching a lot of the current wrestling that's going on?
Oh, yes, sir. A lot of the guys don't. I stay in tune. I watch TiVo, to me, is the greatest invention ever because I can record. I try to watch Monday Night Raw every Monday live. ECW is, I TiVo it. SmackDown, I TiVo it. I TiVo Impact. And that's pretty much, and I'll catch an occasional Ring of Honor show online. And that's pretty much all I watch.
Yeah, I got to say, I'm still rocking the VCR, man. I still got my VCR. I still got my VCR tapes, and I recorded just straight off TV.
Oh, sweet. Well, hey, man, everyone's got their own system.
Yeah, exactly. I think it works well, man, for sure.
That's awesome.
But let me ask you, is there anything going on in the current wrestling scene anywhere that's really got your interest?
You know, what's your name again, sir?
Guy.
Sky, I try to find the positive. When everyone's bashing WWE or TNA, I really try to find one thing off the show that I can enjoy. Right now, Shawn Michaels coming back, I think, is a godsend. Shawn Michaels, like him or hate him, no matter his attitude, is one of the most underrated workers of all time. I think he's right up there with Ric Flair as the greatest of all time. His ability to have a good.
Michaels has done a lot of great stuff. There's no doubt.
His ability to have a great match with anyone has put him up there with Ric Flair, I mean, Shawn Michaels got a good match out of Kevin Nash. Not just a good match, a four-star match.
No, I remember. Are you talking about the
Good Friends,
good
Better
friends,
Enemies.
Better Enemies?
Exactly.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, man.
That was awesome.
That was a great match.
Cena being gone, I really think hurts the product. I think Cena's awesome. I think Cena can... The thing about Cena is a lot of people like to complain about him and say, well, he can't do this, he can't do that, he can't... Look at what he can do. He can talk, and that's what's missing nowadays is you don't have too many good talkers.
I agree. I think he gets a lot of lame lines, but he makes it work, and I mean, bottom line, when the chips are down, John Cena usually has a great match. You know,
exactly.
I got to say that. I mean, he works hard, and he, in the end, he pulls it out, you know?
I appreciate everyone that goes out there and tries, you know? Saturday night, if I can venture off, I did a wrestling show Saturday night here in Fort Worth at a haunted house. It was called Texas Scare Grounds.
That's cool, man.
And we drew about 500 people, and it was a show that lasted a long time. It started at 8, and I was in the main event. I have a program going down there with the heavyweight champion. His name is Texas Red. Great guy. This guy's 6'6", almost 300 pounds. So we went ahead and set up a hardcore match in the main event. And so usually how they let these things go down here is they pretty much let me pretty much book the match. You know, I'll do what whatever promoter wants, I'll take it, and then I'll make it into a match. I'm kind of my own road agent because I've promoted my own shows. I've booked my own shows for years, so I kind of know what I'm doing. So we went ahead. It was 12 midnight by the time the main event started.
Wow.
There wasn't too many people left. There were still a few out there. There wasn't too many people left. But I made sure when I went out there that it doesn't matter how many people were there. I didn't make a dime. It was all for charity. And I went out there and bled a bucket and just gave it all that I could for the 10 people that were there, 10, 15, 20. You know, there was a lot of people there when we first started. There wasn't as many people when we ended. But as long as there's people there, if there's one child sitting there, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to make sure that when he leaves, my goal every night when I work is, and it's, and I want to give that kid something to talk about the next day at school.
And I hear you. I want to ask you, are there any particular wrestlers that came from the state of Texas that you're really into or that, you know, just all around people that you've respected and tried to learn from?
Ronnie Mack sat me down once, and I remember Ronnie Mack said, I want to teach you psychology. So he took me in his house. He drank a beer. We watched a tape. I forget of who. Ronnie Mack taught me how to work just right there. I had been working for years, I just didn't get it. I just did moves. You know, moves that didn't make any sense. He said, you don't do that. Every match, you got to do it like this. Every match has psychology. Watch. Just listen to me. Do it like this. When you start a match, you start it off hot and heavy. Then you slow it down. And when you're the heel, you do this. And when you're the face, you do this. And then when you go into the finish, you do this. And from that day forward, I made sure that every match I did had that in it. And I remember I wrestled Jazz again in 2006 here in Fort Worth. She came back down. And I remember it was my night to... The match in Houston wasn't that great. It was my first broke in. It wasn't that good. So this time around, I made sure that this match was going to be good. And we did the match. We had so much crowd heat, Sky. It was unbelievable. I remember we sat there, and she posed, and then I posed. And then she posed, and then I posed. And the crowd would just go, yay, boo, yay, boo. We killed 3 or 4 minutes just doing that. And we got in the ring, and she literally, I figuratively, in front of the audience, she kicked my ass, which is what the people wanted to see. I got one move off. Didn't care. Didn't matter. As long as she went over and looked good, that's what the fans paid to see. Remember coming back and them telling me, Ronnie just telling me, dude, you're 10 times the worker you were when I first saw you. And I said, dude, it's you. You taught me. You know, and I try to watch. I'm a big fan of. I like JBL. That's one of my favorites, and it hurts me that he's an announcer now. But The Million Dollar Man is just my all-time favorite is the Million Dollar Man. And I think if you want to learn something, Steamboat's the man. Andre the Giant's the reason I started watching wrestling.
Right on.
I remember I saw him and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. What's he doing? He's a wrestler? I got to watch. So if Andre, I don't know if I would have got into wrestling if it wasn't for Andre the Giant. I always give Andre that credit. And, you know, I don't think Andre gets.
How old were you when you first started watching wrestling?
5. And ever since then, it's just been second nature. When I'm going through school and I'm depressed, wrestling always, you know, and wrestling wasn't cool back then. How old are you?
I'm 27.
You're 27. I'm 26. So when we're growing up and we're watching wrestling in middle school, it's not cool.
Yeah, like 94, 95.
Yeah, you couldn't even admit you were a wrestling fan because you would have got beat up.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I didn't know too many people who liked wrestling, that's for sure.
Yeah. But when Austin came along, everybody started watching it. So
absolutely, I still know people who remember all that stuff and Stone Cold and all those people. It's definitely faded off, though. It's not to that level anymore, unfortunately.
No, definitely not. But, you know, I'm so proud that I've been able to call myself a professional wrestler because I've done so many things. I've gone to so many places and met so many people that I never would have got to meet unless I got into this business. So, it's just been a dream, man. Been a dream come true for the last 10 years.
Yeah, but anybody can do it. Anybody, if you have that dream, I mean, Dave, you know, I mean, you're what, 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing?
Pretty much.
You know, if you love this business, there will be a home for you somewhere, somehow, some way.
Right.
Either ring announcing, ringing the fucking bell, being a referee, manager, worker, cameraman, you know, podcast host, you know, we love the business.
Exactly.
I mean, I've fallen out of love of the business considering the garbage it's on now.
Right.
But if it weren't for my DVD collection, I'd go out of my fucking mind.
Exactly.
Let me ask you, Kizzy, what's the last wrestling thing you watched?
I watched the Kennedy and Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy promo thing last night on Raw.
From last night?
I just flipped it on. You know, I was surfing the channels and shit. And I just flipped it on, and I was like, oh, hey, it's Kennedy. So, and Jeff Hardy showed me last night that that man is a star. Jeff Hardy is a star.
Yeah, he's been a star for a while. He's very popular. I'd say Jeff Hardy and Rey Mysterio are definitely the two people I can point out that are more popular or seen as bigger stars than actually as they're seen as stars by the promotion.
Well, all you got to do is you guys, you know, KZ, I know you're a subscriber of the Observer. All you have to do, if you really want to look at how big somebody a star is, just look at the quarter hours. Look at the ratings. Look at how many people. Look at Raw. Look how many people that they add during a segment. And look how many people they lose. It's amazing that I'll be reading, like, the TNA, and I'll read I don't want to bash anybody, but I'll read where such and such worked such and such. Lost 125,000 viewers. My impression would be as the booker, okay, we can't air that match again. Or we need to take them aside and work on what they're doing because that lost 125,000 viewers. That's a lot to me.
I think it matters bottom line, like the pay-per-view buys you do, how many people actually want to pay to see the product.
Right.
What's the product?
It's a crazy business, and even here on the indies, it's, you know, especially down here in Texas, I mean, there's PCW is the top organization around here down right now, and I worked for them for a number of years, and I got nothing bad to say about them. I'm not working for them now. Their way of business and mine don't correspond. They like guys with bodies. Well,
there's XCW, right?
XCW, who me and the promoter hate each other.
Oh, really?
He just
whether you like them or not, I do like the product. They are on MAV TV
right.
For those few thousand that get that channel.
Right.
So yeah, that's pretty good stuff. And Necro's, you know, an assistant with that company, and it's good stuff. You know, it's pretty good.
Right. He used to be. He's not anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That ended pretty much after Radiator began, and I knew it wouldn't, and I just knew that the Necro wasn't going to be appreciated. I'm not going to say anything bad about the company. The guy running it, I have my opinions about him for a different reason, but the company itself has done very well, and I have a lot of friends that work there, and I will never say anything bad about, you know, Seth Shai, real good friend of mine, one of the probably top worker in Texas today, if you ask me. He's been in the PWF 500 a number of years. He was mine when I was running another organization called NAWA. KZ, I sent you a DVD of one of our shows.
Oh, yeah.
Lenny Lane as our champion. Seth Shai was the longest heavyweight champion. The guy is awesome. He is a top star over there. And I won't say anything bad about any organization. I won't bash any organization because they are trying.
Hey, they're running.
Exactly.
They're running. You got to give them that respect. Nowadays, for an independent company to run a fucking show, it takes a set of stones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to give them that respect.
I do. Hands down. I've tried to get shows together and run them again. It's just really hard down here now. You know, I'm going to hang it up next April, and I'm going to stop being an active competitor because it'll be 10 years. And I wanted to reach 10 years. I wasn't supposed to last one, to some of the guys around here. So for me to make it 10 and done all the shows I've done and done all the hardcore matches and lasted, that's a big deal to me. So I think after that, I can disappear off to the sunset. I can be an agent. Some of the young guys look up to me already, and they'll listen, they'll talk to me, and they'll ask me, hey, do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? Saturday night, I had 4 hours to kill before my match, considering it was the main event. Now, I was pretty psyched about being in the main event on Saturday night until I got there and figured out there was 4 hours before me. At that point, I would have volunteered to be the curtain jerker. But, you know, whatever. Whatever's good for the show. So I sat there and I watched the show. And I talked to pretty much everybody there. And, you know, these guys that only have a few matches, they were coming up to me saying, hey, you know, you got any advice for me? And I just tell them what I thought. And some guys listen, and they'll pull up a chair, and they'll soak everything in. Some guys will be like, yeah, okay, that guy knows what he's talking about. I'm going to go over here. You know, but I'll never turn my back to somebody. If they want to talk to me, they want to know what I think, I'll tell them. If they use it, great. If not, no big deal. You know, anybody in the locker room, maybe they don't belong there. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not my show. I'm not one of these veterans that just bitches at you for no reason. You're there for a reason. As long as you don't disrespect anybody back here in my presence, and as long as you don't walk back here thinking you're the next Shawn Michaels, then I don't have a problem with you. And I'll talk to you about anything.
Well, this past weekend, you were headlining a show. You worked Texas Red.
Yes, sir.
How many times have you worked Mr. Red? Seems like you two are married.
Yeah. Yeah, we've worked each other a lot. And it's funny, last year, I was the NGW Heavyweight Champion, the organization that we worked on Saturday.
Right.
And he beat me on a show, headlined, check this out, Casey's going to love this. It featured the return of the legendary Iceman King Parsons. So, you had Iceman King Parsons there, Rodney Mack was there, and we were in the main event, and I just was marking out so much. And I remember Iceman came up to me, he said, so you're the man here, huh? I said, why do you say that? He said, you're the champ. And I looked at him, and I said these words. I said, hey, man, you know, it bees that way sometimes. And he laughed.
Did he pop?
Oh, yeah, he popped.
That's good stuff, Dave.
No, he beat me. He beat me last year for the heavyweight title, and then I took some time off to heal because I was hurting, and we did a lot of stuff that night, and then I came back just a couple months ago, and they went ahead and decided to do the rematch at the Haunted House Saturday night, and it began at midnight, and I remember I marked out afterwards because I was like, you know what? I've never wrestled a match at midnight, so that was kind of cool. Of course, I'm on the way home. I was bitching the whole time because I'm not as young as I used to be. And I'm like, damn, man.
how is Iceman doing? Is he, how's his health? And
he looked very much at ease. He looked very relaxed. He was very happy to be there. He talked to everybody, took pictures. He was just very happy to be there. So from that token, from what I saw, he looked very peaceful, very healthy, and just very glad to be back.
That's cool. Iceman's always been a favorite of mine, you know, that day.
Oh, yeah.
We're running a little short on time here. So I want to give you, you know, the platform, David, to get out your plugs, your MySpace, and email addresses and whatnot. I'm pretty sure that there are people that want to get that early Necro Butcher in Texas DVD from you.
Okay.
So shoot out your email address and your MySpace and whatnot.
Okay, well, my official website is www.vengeance.nu. That's my official website. It hasn't been updated in a while. I'm going to go update it this week. I'm actually doing something again, coming out with the new Vengeance David Fuller 10-year commemorative T-shirts. I should be in November. You can order those online through my MySpace, which is myspace.com/DKKeithFullerCrib. My email address is dominantdominantdf@yahoo.com. I am in control of the IHW video library, which consists of many shows featuring Rodney Mac, Jazz, Spanky, Necro Butcher, the Kongs from WCW, the NAWA video library, which consists of Lenny Lane, Jazz, Joey Corman, Seth Shai, myself, and the Necro Butcher DVD as well, and a lot of other shows and stuff. So,
yeah, if I were any of you guys listening, I would go out of your way to get that Necro Butcher DVD. It's got the Richards matches, the first couple, right? Damon.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Got
man.
A match
see
with
Devin
Hellhammer versus Awesome and Crusher Kong, who hadn't teamed up. Who reunited at our show, at IHW 1-year anniversary show. They had not teamed up since they were in WCW. That was their first show back together against Necro Butcher and his partner Hellhammer.
Good stuff. And there's also, there's a couple Hot Stuff Hernandez matches on there with Necro.
Exactly.
That's good
Texas
stuff.
Store, yes.
You would think that the contrast in styles wouldn't work, but it did. I don't know what the hell Necro does, but he pulled it off. I don't understand, but Necro is definitely an anomaly in this business, I'll tell you.
Definitely. And it's been my pleasure to associate with these guys over the last 10 years, and I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Well, Dave, the next time you have a show coming up, you let me know. We'll get you back on. The next time you run a show or you're appearing on a show, hit me up, and we'll get you back on the show.
As,
from what I hear, a lot of people are wanting to hear this. So, you know, it's a pleasure having you on, brother.
Thank you.
And I will
be
in contact.
Thank you very much, guys. I greatly appreciate it. KZ, it's always a pleasure dealing with you. I got to put you over real quick. KZ, when I first broke into the Crazy Max world, a lot of people didn't take me very seriously. KZ was one of the first guys to step up, actually have conversations with me, talk to me. I can't say enough good things about KZ. He's actually a decent human being, which you can't find nowadays. So, greatly appreciate you, KZ. You're the man.
Thank you, sir. I will be talking to you, Dave.
All right, y'all have a good night.
All right, brother.
You too, man.
Thank you, Sky. You take care, buddy.
Yeah, take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was fun, Guy.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. We had some good times.
Well, we have about a minute to go, so I'm going to plug the show for this Saturday. It's a change of time. This Saturday show will be at 12 p.m. Pacific time. Is that all right with you guys?
Yeah, dude, that sounds good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so 12 p.m. Pacific time this Saturday. We're going to have USWA Memphis job guy Tony Myers on the show. Tony has got all kinds of stories and good stuff. This is going to be part one of two interviews. We're going to have him on twice because he's got a lot of stuff to plug. So the first show is going to be what he's currently doing, and then the second show we'll be talking about the Memphis run that he had. So we're coming down to the last 20 seconds. Guy, it was a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, man. I had a good time.
Cool. I will talk to you and everybody else on Saturday. Thanks for checking out Rebel Guard Radio.
Hold air, bitches.